Okay, let me have everyone's attention here. I know you're finding your places in your word. This will be our last training session, so we're going to do this. We're going to have tons of fun, but I want us all to lean in to Jesus, not to me. Amen. You guys stoked?
Yeah.
Awesome. Here we go. What we're going to do is jump off of yesterday, jump off of what Sam led us into this morning. You know, really been going after coming out of unoffendable heart by pursuing radical humility. Who's the greatest model or demonstration of humility ever?
Jesus!
Yes, amen. Philippians 2, we know that Matthew tells us, we love that passage where Jesus says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. Who like me loves that? I just love that statement that Jesus says, I'm humble in heart. I think that's incredible, right? Okay, so we're learning to imitate that. What we want to go after today is establishing, laying the foundation in our teams and in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationship with our children, in our communities going forward, the rest of our lives, the principles of unity and agreement. Everyone say unity and agreement. Very good. Okay. What I want you to do, we're going to read all together in just a moment out of John 17. But first, I want you to look at the front page of the Unity and Agreement module. On the top left-hand side, you see Matthew 18, verse 19. Let's all read this out loud. And when we read, let's just read with all of our heart. Here we go. I also tell you this. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything asked, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Okay, so here we go. Just going to have some simple, but I think important thoughts for us. Unity and agreement is essential for our life for many reasons. But the first one I want to emphasize is this. It will unlock our prayer life. It will unlock not only our ability to pray, but it'll unlock answers flowing in return to our prayers. And I just love that in black and white that when two of us agree on earth, the Father does it. Okay. What am I saying is when we're asking for something, I want to restate it simple. When we're asking for something, we need agreement. And I just want to point this out that two of us, we can have the language of agreement. We can have the moves of agreement. We can appear to be in agreement. But how many of us know that true agreement really flows from the heart? So what I'm more interested in is not so much the moves and the language of agreement, but the genuine article. Like I want it in my heart, in my guts, that you and I, right, or any of us, we could show up anywhere in the world in the future on an hour's notice and instantly go, we are locked and loaded in unity and agreement. Everything we ask for, the Father's going to do. In other words, we don't need a week to get back into order, but we're living our lives in a heart condition of unity and agreement. We're flowing in that. Amen?
Yeah.
Everyone say amen.
Yeah.
So it enables God to begin to answer our prayers. Okay, take your word. I want you to look at John chapter 17, and we're going to read all together. Starting at verse 20. So I'll just say, whatever translation you have is okay. We're just all going to read out loud, starting at verse 20, all the way through verse 26. We ready for it? As we're reading, I want us just to note a couple things. Number one, Jesus is praying for you and me in this passage. So it's key. This is his heart for us. Number two, I want us just to note the standard of unity that Jesus sets forward in this. Okay? So here we go. We'll start at verse 20. Ready, set, go. Amen. Okay. I want to point out just some simple things. Okay? Here we go. I want to point out this. Jesus prays for all of us that we would be one. Everyone say one.
One.
Awesome. Then he points out in verse 21 what he defines what one means. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So Jesus is saying his prayer for us is we would be one in the exact same way that God was in Jesus and Jesus was in him. Now, I just want us for a second to just step back and consider what kind of unity that must be. Then he prays this in verse 21. He says, may they also be in us. Okay, so he's praying, we have oneness that literally, it's a representation, exact model for the way that Jesus and the Father have oneness back and forth. Then he prays that we would be in them. I just love that he's emphasizing that, okay? But then this is my favorite part. He prays that, and then he says this, the second half of verse 21, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So Jesus states that the world's ability to have a revelation of the reality of Jesus is directly correlated to you and I having a level of oneness like Jesus and the Father have. So in other words, the more that, I wish I could break it down like an engine and tell you exactly how it works. I don't know. It's kind of a mystery. Everyone say mystery.
Mystery.
But it's clear enough to me to go, we should reach for it. Everyone say reach. So we're reaching. So this is the term that we use. This is a Joy Dawson term she's been training us in. Okay, the mother of YWAM is this term, Trinitarian unity. Trinitarian unity, oneness in the same way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. They've modeled that oneness. It's that level of oneness that we are to reach for. And as we reach for that, that enables the world to go, wow, Jesus is real. And I wonder how much prayer and how much effort, how many projects and resources have been poured into winning the world, yet lacking a Trinitarian unity. And John 17 says it's the Trinitarian unity that enables the world to go, wow, Jesus is real. So I wondered if let's pour our energy. I'm talking to myself too, and this is with joy, tons of joy and expectation. Let's work our guts out in outreach. I'm down for it. It'll be the funnest thing you ever did. I promise you, you're about to go on outreach and you'll always look back and go, that was such a fun time. But let's pour our guts into being one like they're one, because I think that produces fruit. It says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. There it is again in verse 22. I in them and you in me. May they be brought, I love this, in verse 23, to complete unity. Everyone say complete unity.
Complete unity.
And here it is again, the big statement. To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So our unity communicates to the world that God loves the world in the same way he loved Jesus. Exact same love. He loves you and I in the same way he loves Jesus. So I love this passage to me because it's filled with a revelation of who Jesus is, who God is, his love for us, his love for the world, and how to activate that love so the world knows. I think one of the most effective outreach strategies we could have is to be unified. To be in a spirit of unity and agreement. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Look now at your Unity and Agreement module. And we all just read John 17, so we won't do that again. Okay, look on the right-hand side, and you'll see, who sees number 1 through 20? Does everyone see those? These are 20 characteristics that marked or described the church in the book of Acts. So these were definitive characteristics of the church in its original design by God. How many of you know the church has an original design, just like you do as an individual? He had a blueprint for what he wanted it to look like. These are 20 of those characteristics. Now, real quick, let me have everyone's attention, and then I have an assignment for you. This is really key. In simplicity, we will never gain unity by trying to align our lives with one another. We'll never produce the outcome that you want. We can work all we want at trying to be better friends. We can work at all we want at trying to harmonize. We can work all we want at saying, you're the best. No, you're the best. No, you're the best. No, you're the best. But as long as my effort to have unity is me aligning with you, then we're just constantly going to be like two variables moving back and forth. Why? Because we're imperfect people trying to imitate a perfect God, right? So in other words, I think it's great, but I don't think the upfront foot-washing, hand-holding moment, though I think it's great, I don't think it creates complete unity like John 17 does. I think that you and I can only ever have, we can only have agreement here when we have vertical agreement. So you and I will only ever be in agreement when we fix our eyes on Jesus and go, I'm going to align my life with Jesus and his values. And if you'll do that simultaneously, then we're going to look over and realize, oh my goodness, we're totally in step and of oneness of mind. So it's only unity vertically that produces unity horizontally. Okay. So I just want to say that because I think sometimes we begin to go like, let's really work harder at being buddies, and somehow that's going to produce a unity that brings about miracles. I think that's a great thing. We should do that. But I think what produces miracles and the testimony of Jesus is when our lives are in line with Jesus. So what we're going to do is this. So I'll make this one last statement I just want to make it, as clear and as simple as we can. The reason that is I don't think unity can ever come from us. We don't produce unity. God produces unity. Jesus produces unity. The Holy Spirit does. So can we all agree that we're going to fix our eyes on them simultaneously, and that locks us in. We'll be in step with the Spirit. Everyone say, in step with the Spirit.
In step with the Spirit.
So here's what I want you to do. Is in your training groups, in pairs, turn to each other. Just get into pairs. You can be in 3, 2. It's all right to do that. I want you to take turns reading through these 20 characteristics. But don't just read through the characteristics. What I want you to do is on every one, together, I want you to say with boldness, we agree or we say yes to. Everyone say, I agree.
I agree.
Say, I say yes to.
I say yes to.
So we're not just reading these, but as we're reading them, we're declaring our allegiance to the characteristics that God set forth for his church. So here, I'll give you an example. On point number one, the people were desperate for God. What I would say is I'd read that and then I would say, God, we are saying yes to a life of desperation for you. So do you see out loud, we're discovering the characteristics that we align our life with, and then we as a team, maybe the two of us or the three of us, we're all simultaneously saying, yes, we're going to reach for that. Everyone say reach.
Reach.
I'm not saying perfection. We're all, we need tons of mercy. I'm sure at 80, we're all going to go, man, I could grow in these. But it's the reach that we're living for. With all of our heart, we're reaching for these characteristics. Therein unity is found. Okay, this is the plumb line for our life. So go ahead and do that in your group. Work through those 20 characteristics. We'll take maybe 5 or 10 minutes to do this. Go for it. How many of us feel like we're gaining revelation on how unity really expresses itself or how to pursue unity? Okay, awesome. So we're aligning ourselves with God's values or his plumb line. As we do that, unity and agreement is a natural byproduct. Okay, here's the next expression of unity I want us to go after in your team. I think this will be fun. Quick thought on unity and agreement. Unity and agreement is really rooted in humility. And here's how. When I have an honest assessment of myself, I will realize I have strengths and weaknesses. Are we tracking? How many of you know you all have, every one of you in the room has strengths and weaknesses? That's part of God's plan. Why does he do that? He gives us strengths and weaknesses so that we inherently have need, that's a key word, need for one another. Everyone say, I need you.
I need you.
Now here we go. Unity really occurs when I can say that from the heart. I'm going to say that again. Unity really occurs when I can say from the heart, without you, I'm dead. Whoa. Now, I want you to know I can say that because it's a cool thing to say, but it does not have as much punch on the statement. But when the statement is rooted in true humility, meaning I actually have a real revelation that if you don't show up today, if you don't bring your best, if you don't open your mouth and say what you're supposed to say, if you don't sing like you're supposed to sing, if you don't activate your gifts, then we're dead and we cannot fulfill our purpose as a team because you have everything to do with our success. Now listen, this is key. This will help you, okay? It'll help your culture as a team. It'll help your family. It'll help your marriages. We have to develop the ability to communicate that. Because what it does is it draws the best out of one another. When I can look you in the eyes and with joy and humility say, I'm going to tell you all the things that you're great at and why I need you. And I will constantly remind you that. Because what it does is it gives permission to the person to bring their best. Does that make sense? So I want to show you how we do this as a practical team. It's really simple. It's like encouragement. It is encouragement, but it's a specific skill that articulates exactly what the other guy brings to the table or the other girl brings to the table. So if I was part of this team, and you're going to do this in a second, I want you to get as close as you can, shoulder to shoulder, and you're actually going to take turns going around the circle. You can choose. Every person will do one person, can choose whoever you want, spread the love. And I want you to articulate with passion. Everyone say, with passion. I want you to articulate with passion what that person brings to the table and why you need it. Do we all understand why this is an exercise of humility? Because it admits weakness and then celebrates the need for the other. I'm telling you, that's so kingdom. That is so joyful. If we can lock into that, I was always that guy on the team. I'm going to be honest for a second. I was always the guy on the team that was bummed when I realized I had a weakness. Why? It's just called pride. Because I wanted to be the guy with the strengths. I wish I could tell you different. There it is. And the Lord's been working on me over the years to say, but Matt, don't you see the joy of having a team that is so strong in areas you're not? Because here's the key. When you win, you actually have someone to celebrate your victory with versus winning and then looking around and you have no one standing with you because you did it on your own. So it's a higher outcome to win together than it is to just win and go, I was the man. That's great, but I'll enjoy my victory alone. Or we can lean on each other and go, I need you, I need you. And it pulls the other in and they're like, I need you too. And all of a sudden we have this amazing love bond, one with another. Okay, that's complete unity. And it's just joy. People, it pulls the greatest out of people. So I want you to circle up with your team, shoulder to shoulder, and just begin to go around and with passion articulate that, I need you because you do this or you bring this, and be specific in that. Go for it. Guys, you're doing so great. I know I'm interrupting you, but the good news is you can do this anytime and all the time. Amen? We're aiming for culture. Everyone say culture. Let me have everyone's attention here. We're going to close out our training session. A few more minutes. Turn to page 70. I think it's the very back page of your Unity and Agreement module. Page 70. Back page. It says, inarguable areas of agreement. Does everyone see those? Should be 12 of them. Okay, let me have everyone's attention. Okay, what we just did is an amazing practical tool that you can do anytime. How many of you felt the atmosphere in your team shift as you did that? Raise your hand. Okay. Let me just point this out real quick. Where I have found that tool the most helpful for me. It's natural in your friendships. I'm going to use a funny word here, but I'm going to risk it. It's natural in friendships to lose the romance a little bit. Like, in other words, we all have that period you go with. No, just travel with me for a second. Even guy with guy for a second. You know, we start out with something, I'm like, man, I like that Hunter guy. He's amazing, man. He's strong. He's a wild preacher, you know. But how many of you, after a few weeks or a few months of that, we start to see also we all have another side, right? Yeah. Our side that needs to be a little more like Jesus. Can I get a witness? Okay. I'm just telling you the truth. This happens in marriage too. So don't think the marriage is the answer to all your problems, or you'll be shocked when you wake up one day and go, uh-oh, it happened here too. Yeah, it's called human interaction. Okay, here we go. Listen, no, this is key. I promise you I'm about to save you a lot of heartache here. If you will use that tool, I'm telling you, every time I use that, bar none, it shifts the culture or the atmosphere of my heart. So in other words, instead of me waiting for Hunter to just become more awesome, like, well, I guess we're just going to be tense then until he just grows up, you know, changes. I know that's wild, but come on, let's be honest. We think like that sometimes, right? I can say, no, I'm not a victim to this. All that's happened is we lost romance. Then that's not Hunter's fault. That's my fault. Because I'm forgetting to imitate Christ's attitude, which was that if he took on the form of a slave, a servant. So let me return to Philippians 2, okay? And here's how I do that practically. Track with me. I do this in marriage, too. As I begin to either by myself or sometimes my wife and I, we just do this together. Not in a plastic, robotic way. We will just from the heart begin to say, I'm going to say specifically all the reasons I'm thankful for you and all the ways I'm dead without you. And I'm telling you, you're 30 seconds away from starting to go like, wow, I really do need you. And you can feel the romance will start to, in your heart go like, man, I really am thankful for you, man. Remember last Tuesday, I was in that meeting. It was going terribly, actually. And thank God you were there. You stepped in and rescued us. And my goodness, it was incredible. And just, you begin to speak a language of love to one another. I'm telling you, this will revolutionize every friendship in your world. So I want you to use that. Don't wait to feel it to use it or we miss the point. Use it when you least feel like it. That's when it's best. Okay, here we go. This will be our closing moment here. We're going to go about 8 minutes. I want you as a group, training group leaders or outreach leaders, facilitate this. You've got 12 categories, inarguable areas or categories of agreement. What I want you to do is go around the circle and have individuals take turns wildly preaching these categories to one another. Here's what you're doing. Listen, you're compelling your group to say, come on, you guys, let's live according to this. So, for example, number one, Jesus must literally be Lord. So have one person go around the circle one at a time. So someone will take number one. They'll read the whole thing out loud. Luke 6, 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Then they'll read that paragraph. Then I want that person to take 60 seconds. And with all your heart, you're motivating your team like, come on, you guys. Why are you doing this? This is a real skill set you'll need in life and on outreach to call each other back to the plumb line of unity and agreement. So let's go. Training group leaders, you facilitate that. Just begin to go around, read out loud, and then preach with passion, compelling your group into that. Go for it. Okay. I want everyone to play this with me. Let's play this all together in unison. Jesus.
Jesus.
We say yes.
We say yes.
To living in line with you. Your values.
Your heart.
Thank you for modeling humility to us.
We say yes
to unity and agreement
as a way of life.
Amen. Awesome. Great job, you guys. We're going to take